Coming up today on the show, we're going to catch up on the latest Disney news, and I have a small trip report I'm going to throw in there. That's today on Traveling with a Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 486 of Traveling with the Mouse.
Getting closer.
I'm a little rusty. It's been a while.
Yeah, we took a week off, so you could go on the damn tour, and then you couldn't even go on the damn tour.
Okay, yes, that's great. My name is Adam, and I am joined by, that was John.
Is it really? Oh, okay, yeah. But this is the part where I'm supposed to insert a line that you guys are supposed to guess, right? Remember? So
yes, go ahead.
Throughout today's performance, please refrain from buzzing, stinging, and pollinating.
Whoa.
And no chirping.
I wonder what that could be from.
Take a wild guess.
You got to get in all the extinct attractions before they completely go out.
Yes.
Tough to be a insect? Oh, bug? Something.
Ah, something yes. Like. Tough to be a bug. Yes. You know, something I guess I overlook, like that happens while people are coming in. How the announcer says that in today's performance, the part of the stink bug will be played by Claire DeRue.
Oh.
Hmm. Claire DeRue. Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, I never...
Anyway.
Pay attention to
that. Never noticed that before, because it's just one of the all-time favorite attractions, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I go every time. Yeah.
I actually did used to go fairly regularly to this, but it's been a minute.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've already gone the last time I'm going to go, though, so.
Yes, I have, too, because it's closing scene.
Yes.
So have we talked about that already, though, the closing date of that? It's been so long now, I don't remember. Yeah, we did.
We had to have. Yeah, we had to have.
Because that's coming up in March, right? So I'll throw in a couple of news stories. Disney World finally got the green light for demolition of Rivers of America. So we're expecting that we will hear a closing date for this probably in the next week or two, I would think, or the next month.
It might be sooner than we think. It might be by the time we finish talking. That's yeah. The way things usually go.
Right, so. Exactly. Disney will announce us, and then everything we say will be out of date. But
yeah, it's like they'll announce something as soon as we're done with a show.
Right.
By the way, Stuff Beat a Bug was March 17th, so St. Paddy's Day? Or
that might be your last chance, huh? So if you're going for St. Patrick's Day, how many people are going to like marathon this on its last day like they did Country Bear Jamboree?
It's probably going to have more of a quieter exit, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Its numbers may increase a little before it's done.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that the changes they've made to Country Bears has actually been somewhat of an improvement, you know, attendance-wise. I'm not talking about, like, what I think. I'm talking about attendance-wise for now.
Well, at least for the short term, yeah, probably. But thinking, too, Bug's Life was, you know, only the second Pixar film and never really got a sequel. All the other early movies got sequels, didn't they? Finding Nemo got one. Of course, Toy Story got a bunch. Monsters, Inc. right after that got a sequel. That Bugs Life didn't. So,
well, yeah,
not really it didn't. Popular either.
Yeah, and I think Disney, I guess, maybe learned a little something from this one in the sense that, you know, they had plans to go ahead and do an attraction, which they did, right?
Right.
Before they knew just exactly how successful the movie was going to go. And now they have a tendency to wait past that set way film's past, relevancy before they get stuff released. So they need to find a happy medium there.
Yeah. Especially if it's, you know, like Frozen, that was the biggest hit ever. You know, it took them a little while, but they did finally.
Yeah, because Frozen was, well, was that 2012 or 13?
I think it was probably 13, but let me double check.
Yeah, so, I mean, even if that was the case, Ever After didn't open until 13. 16 or 17. It was one of those two. I think it was 16, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was 16.
So it took approximately 3 years from the time that it was a hit?
Yeah, which isn't super long, but it's probably a year longer than it should have.
Yeah.
So,
and I think this Monsters, Inc. is kind of almost like a retroactive thing. Because I think it's some things people, the type of ride that they're putting in there has been discussed before. I know I've brought it up before that it would be neat to have it be a ride like that instead of the dark ride that they initially did. It kind of makes me think of when Iger came it to be CEO, that he kind of spearheaded the dark ride that should have been made a long time ago, is what they were talking about at the time, and that being the Little Mermaid, and then they did.
Hmm.
Right. So,
yeah. But aren't they making a Zootopia 2? I thought they were.
Yes.
But I don't remember when it's coming out, but yeah, Zootopia obviously was a big hit. It's taking a long time for it to make it to the States attractions, but I guess that was 2016 as well.
Yeah, more so outside the States.
Right.
Where it did the majority of its money it made.
It was still pretty big here, I thought. But
yeah, it was. But I mean, it was just even bigger
there.
Globally.
Yeah, internationally. Yeah. Okay, so the other big story that I can remember over the last couple of weeks was Virtual Queue is gone. It's already happened. Like,
they announced is this the first time since like 2018 that there's been no Virtual Queue?
Yeah.
Any kind?
And since Rise opened, right? Probably.
And it opened in 19, did it not? Like late 19?
Yeah, December 19, so.
So there you go. It was the first virtual queue, and there has been some form of virtual queue in place.
Ever since.
Yeah. Because once one would drop off, another one would be on or go on, one of the two.
Yeah.
Which they'll use it again, no doubt, but.
It was over 1,000 days, right? 1,005, something like that. Days.
For Guardians.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Guardians, I don't know what they were waiting on. Some of the other ones at least made sense, right?
Yeah.
Say, for instance, when they took Rises off, they had a new attraction in Ratatouille they were going to add it to, right?
Yes, I was curious. Do you think Test Track will have it when it reopens, like even for a short time? Do you think they'll... That seems to be their thing, at least when something new opens for...
Well, it depends. We questioned... The one thing that we're pretty sure it won't have is like previews. But then again, they might. Because we didn't think they were going to have them with Tiana's because it was a retheme. Because the only thing we had to go on at that point was, what was it that had a retheme prior to Tiana's? I know Frozen was one of them. And it didn't have one.
Yeah. That was kind of before.
It was a maelstrom.
Right.
It was a maelstrom. Yeah.
They really got into the previews thing in like 2019, didn't they?
What may have changed is the rise in popularity of them, because they did occur prior to that, but it was usually for brand new things. I guess now they consider the rethemes brand new because they always have a tendency to use existing buildings at the very least for attractions. They hardly ever build new. So, which is something that's unique about Monsters, Inc. They are building new for the one ride.
Yeah.
So,
right.
They don't do that in Disney World very often.
Yeah. But for Monsters, Inc. Land, they might even do a preview of the land like they did with Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. So if they do a land preview, they're going to have the B attraction be open,
right?
Not the A.
Probably, yeah.
What is the other attraction supposed to be? And it's supposed to be two attractions? I don't even remember.
Yeah, I think they mentioned two, but they didn't say what the other was, or if it was just like Monsters, Inc. is moving to Muppets Theater or something, but they didn't say.
They're probably going to have some sort of a... they're going to utilize the theater somehow, I bet, for the second attraction, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind if they cloned the Disneyland DCA Monsters, Inc. attraction, but...
Yeah, but if they do that, they incorporate the doors in that ride. So it's kind of like,
well,
they can't do it exactly.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe they could do a dark ride or something.
Maybe they need to devote the second ride to Monsters University. I don't know what you would use from that movie. I can't remember a whole lot. But
so back to the conversation we were having earlier about Bug's Life. Like, is Monsters, Inc. really one of the most popular franchises from Pixar that deserves another land?
No, I honestly think that this all revolves around the idea, like we were thinking or at least I was the thinking, coaster, you know,
the ride
about
itself.
It being, and I, the door scene being a cool idea for a coaster. I really think that's all this revolves around.
So let's build a land around it. Even though it's not probably one of the more popular franchises.
Right.
I don't know. And the sequel was, what, 2010, right? Something like that.
Well, look, hey, this Monsters is also University. Coming. This is also coming from the same company that said, you know what? Star Wars is an established IP. Why don't we create all new stuff for people to explore and, you know.
Yeah. Right. Oh, my gosh. Instead of the things that everybody loves. Yeah.
And just throw in a, what would they do? Like throw in some nostalgia by putting the Falcon out there. You know.
But make it in a timeline that no one likes, and then we'll just have to ditch after a couple
of years.
The timeline. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty much what happened. And a lot of people were calling this from the get-go. It was like, when are they going to ditch the timeline thing? Right. And they pretty much already
Not long.
They pretty much already have it. It's what? How many years are we at in now? We're coming up on, how many years are we in? Are we? It was 2019. So we're 6 years in, just six about. Years,
yeah. Almost August will be 6 years.
Yeah.
So Monsters University was 2013. So it's only been 12 years since the last Monsters Inc. film.
Is that all?
Yeah, only 12.
Yeah. And the original was what, 03 or 04, somewhere in that range?
Yeah, I think it was 2003 or 2001.
Was it that far back? Wow. No, 01 was when they did
2001.
Emperor's New Groove. It was 2001?
That was Pixar. That was before they merged. So, yeah, it was 2001.
I remember 01 was Emperor's New Groove for Walt Disney Pictures anyway, because Monsters, Inc. is Pixar.
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't, you know, Monsters University, I don't remember being that fond of it. It was fine, but it wasn't like...
Oh, I said it was okay. It wasn't as good as the original. It was one of those deals. Let's be honest. A lot of movies that get sequels really should be one and done's.
Most of them.
People just, you know, they know that the sequels are the cash grabs for most of them.
Although I would argue Toy Story 2 and 3 are better than the original, but...
You're giving the exceptions to the rule, though.
Sure. But still.
It's like T2 is another exception to the rule, but the general rule is the sequels are not... No, unless you're, you know, making a series like, you know, the first three Star Wars movies or something, then there's exceptions
to be made. Empire Strikes Back is better... Overall, but only because of the limitations they had on the first Star Wars. If they had the same budget for the first Star Wars, it probably would have been just as good. But anyway, that's not true with Indiana Jones. The original is the best by far. But anyway.
Story-wise, I think what they had to do to continue it just lended a more entertaining, like I had the shock factor, so to speak, Empire.
Oh, yeah, Empire, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the funny thing is they tried to do that with Indiana Jones. Like, oh, let's make a dark second chapter because it worked with Star Wars. And it's like they went a little too far with Temple of Doom, I think.
You know that movie is the reason why they came up with the PG-13 rating, right? Have we discussed that before?
Okay. Yes. Yes, we have. Anyway, moving on to the virtual queue thing still. Back to that, I mean. Obviously, February 25th is come and gone, so no virtual queues currently. We took a look at the wait times on the first day of full operation. Yeah, it spiked quite a bit in the beginning, but by the mid-afternoon, it was about an hour wait, which is the last time I did virtual queue, like late in the day, it was about an hour wait. So I don't think it changed too much. Have you looked at how it was the last few days? I should look at that.
No, I haven't. It must not be anything shocking because nobody's reporting on it either. So,
yeah, it's kind of like, oh, well, that happened. I haven't even noticed if they've needed the extended queue beyond, you know, opening. I've heard, you know, they moved like people around towards Mission Space to get them in the first day, but at Rope Drop, but. I think
that's what they were kind of waiting on was to have had it open long enough that a lot of people have had the opportunity to experience it, and they were hoping that maybe the demand had died down some enough to make it manageable at least.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the hope. I don't think Guardians has the same problem that Rise kind of still has in the reliability part. I feel like Guardians is pretty reliable.
Yeah. No, it definitely is more reliable. I'm looking at today, the average wait today was 66 minutes as we're recording this. Yeah, it's averaging about an hour is what it says, like the average wait time. So that's what I'm seeing on Thrill Data. Like it spikes at different times, but anyway.
Now, is that based on the official time?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's based probably on the posted wait time, I'm guessing.
Because a lot of times, especially in recent years, Disney's had a tendency to inflate to try to deter enough people to affect the actual, to affect it to where they want it to be. Let's put it basically is what the best way I would know to put it.
Yeah.
The one factor that Guardians still has, even without a virtual queue, is the individual lightning lane is always going to play a role. So,
yeah. I don't necessarily hate the virtual queue thing.
Yeah, but I don't like them taking away your option. Like if you miss out, you don't have the option to even ride it.
Right.
If you wanted to wait, you couldn't.
Yeah.
I think the old-fashioned way has a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Has some things to it, that good points to it.
True.
But I get their point, too. They don't want to have
4 hour
waiting in line when they could be doing other things.
Right. Yeah, they want to spread people out as much as they can. So it makes sense from a logistics standpoint to not have everyone rush it. I think that's just the product of today's world. Like everybody wants to experience the thing. So they have the pictures or the posts on social media and whatever.
But let's be honest, in their efforts to try to make this more efficient for them, was it really that big of a problem before? I think just the fact that a posted 2 hour wait is there is enough to deter most folks. He's like, I don't want to spend all my time in line.
I mean, it would deter me, but it seems like
exactly. Well, I feel like it deters a lot, though. So that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
I really do. Like, I remember when Test Track was first open. We waited until we saw what we thought was a manageable time before we even got in line.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, once we were in line, it went down and we had to get out of line. So, I mean, you know, you wasted some time. And I just don't think it wastes as much of people's time as they think it does.
Probably.
And not only that, the people that were willing to wait in line in the first place are not the type of guests that are going to spend money elsewhere as well, right. I don't think.
Yeah, if you're willing to wait 4 hours, then you're not.
You're not like, there to buy anything. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to ride that ride no matter what.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do like, I mean, I get the point of give people the art. If they want to wait, let them wait. But from their standpoint, they could be.
Well, you're already offering the option to buy your way onto the ride, essentially.
Right.
Right. So.
Right. So instead of waiting, they could be eating or buying souvenirs or buying something while they're waiting for their virtual queue time to show up.
Well, how many people do you know that really affected their decision of what they're going to spend money on?
No,
personally,
no. It's not with Guardians in particular. I mean,
I just don't know where they're getting their data.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't hard to get.
Where are they getting their data that if people aren't waiting in line, they're spending money elsewhere?
Well, it was a cheaper.
No, they're not. They're looking for a ride they're looking for a ride that's available.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Right. No, I think it was more of a Chapek thing, right?
I know, but I just don't see where that actually translates. How can they say that that's exactly what helps improve those other areas? I don't think they can. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, again, as we there was a story I was talking about earlier this week. They definitely track you more than you may
think.
Yeah,
but we know they track you. But
they know what you do.
You know, I think we all know the main reason that revenue is up, even though attendance is down, is because you're having to buy your way onto rides. That's the main reason. That's the one factor that's there now that wasn't there before. Okay. Let's not kid ourselves.
Right. But is then that there because culturally people are more willing today to pay for convenience than ever before. I feel like that's a cultural
maybe
shift.
Maybe so. But the way they've engineered it now, since you can only do each one once, it's almost like the back in the day with the paper tickets, only they're on your phone. Like you're buying each ride.
Right.
Like if you break it down, you're paying to ride each ride, no matter which one you do.
It's almost like going back to the ticket book, but you can only buy one. You can't buy another ticket book.
Right. Something like that. Yeah. So it's similar to that. It's like a newer version of that. So
yeah,
we've come full circle.
Right. In a way, that's funny. Well, virtual queue is gone for now, but I have a feeling Test Track might be there just at least for a short time.
We'll see. I mean, yeah, nowadays, even something that's been down for a while coming back tends to attract a crowd.
Yeah. So, although we have the last thing I saw was late summer, right? I'm hoping to, whenever they announce an opening date, plan a trip around going to see the new Test Track, but we'll see.
How long was it that People Mover was down and like nothing changed and it had a line? Or I had like people waiting for it to open.
Who would do that? Yeah, I don't know. Who waited 7 hours
to ride a ride that wasn't new?
Yes.
See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you got to remember what we're dealing with nowadays.
Right. They should have had virtual queue for People Mover that day. Anyway.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I'm telling you, cast members tried very hard to get us to walk away.
To leave? Yeah.
Yes, because they were like, guys, we don't know when this is coming back up, or if it will today, wink, wink. So you might want to go do something else. Nobody budged.
Everybody was like, yeah, we're not buying it.
Yeah, we're like, yeah, we know it's coming back up. We know. Like, okay. Sure, you don't want to waste your time. Anyway. What do you think about this level 99 immersive real-world gaming experience replacing...
Yeah, you know, when I got to looking at these things, I was questioning, like, did we just discuss this, or did we actually put it on the show? I don't think we had time to put it on the show.
Yeah, I think this was after. Came about. Yeah. So this would replace where the NBA experience was, where Disney Quest used to be, in the...
That's the comment I made. It's like Disney Quest 2.0, yeah. What we're doing now.
Disney Springs. Yeah, this is my least visited area of Disney Springs still. Like, they really need to do something for this west side, and I don't know that this is going to be the thing, but.
Well, it's funny, when Disney Quest first opened, it was one of the main reasons that west side was
popular.
The side you stopped at.
Like, to get over.
It actually had its own bus stop, even.
Mm-hmm.
Which it doesn't anymore, but.
Right. They're all the one bus stops now in the middle, which is
pretty much
good, actually.
And there was no parking garages then either.
Mm. Right. Yeah, and it used to be, you'd come in on the buses used to stop. What was the side over by?
All I remember is that west side bus stop seemed like it was a long walk to it from the actual west side.
Yeah. And then the other side was, what'd they call it? I don't remember. Anyway.
Yeah, it's over by West Side Marketplace and something.
Yeah.
East Side? I don't think that's what it was called.
I don't think it was.
I don't think that's what it was called.
Yeah. That was many moons ago. But to me, it's not something I'm going to go for, because I don't want to go to Disney Springs and then pay more money to do another thing that is moderately entertaining.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the NBA experience was expensive for what you got. And I'm like, I don't want to go. I'm already paying a ton to go to Disney. I don't want to pay more just to do an hour-long experience of something that's not that.
You know, the NBA experience, though, is something, another one of those things that I missed out on that I'd like to have said that I did once type deal. But it's one of those things also, too, that I was never going to take the time, I don't think.
Right, it was something like $35-$40 a person or something to do this thing.
Yeah.
Kids may have been cheaper, but I'm like, this is $100 for me to take my family for an hour experience. I'm like, it's not worth that. I'm already paying a ton to be there. This is not on my list.
I didn't realize Level 99 already existed, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like some kind of franchise of, like, I don't know. Well, it's like themed rooms and interactive gameplay rooms. I don't know. It looks like Gen Z stuff. So I'm not that into this.
Yeah, so they already have two locations, and their third and fourth one are opening this year in Connecticut. I don't know where the first two are, to be honest. I didn't see that.
There's one in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Virginia is coming soon.
Oh, interesting.
Followed by Disney Springs, I guess.
Started in the Northeast.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like something that's going to cost a lot for a little bit of entertainment.
Well, I think I found the reason why I started where it is. It says that the founder and CEO, Matthew DuPlessis, an MIT engineer and Harvard Business School graduate. So that explains why it started where it started. So, yeah.
So like all these kind of hangout places these days, there's a bar, a restaurant attached to it. And then you get to run around these themed rooms and have interactive games that you can play with friends. Again, very Gen Z, Gen Alpha. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it.
Gen Alpha? Is that a term now? Okay. I must have missed that one. We have too many terms for the upcoming.
Well, that's because we're getting old.
Well, anyway. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, when they first named I started to say D-Generation X, but when they first named Generation X. Anyway.
Let me see really quick what it says the pricing is. So in Massachusetts, the weekend, for 2 hours, it's $35.99. I assume this is per person. All day pass is $55 on the weekends, $50 on the weekdays.
I mean, so given for what it is, and, you know, I guess that's not terrible. I mean, we're talking in today's money, right? So
this is per person. So
I would say it would be, yeah.
It is.
I'll have to see what it looks like when it's all said and done.
So two adults, two kids for 2 hours on a weekend day is $143. So again, it's like not something I really want to do. But
yeah,
you know, I don't see this making it, just like the NBA experience, but maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe it's awesome and I'm old and out of the loop. We'll see. You Gen Zers, go out there and have at it. Enjoy it.
Back in my day.
Yeah.
So we used to have to be strapped to the gaming machine by a wire. Actually use our fingers.
You used to have to play multiplayer games on a 27-inch CRT television
with four little squares
of our each player.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting how we managed to make that work. But yeah.
Anyway, okay. So here's some more stories about. There's definitely money back in the parks because there's so many things being refurbished or spruced up.
I hope for whatever reason, you know, whatever it is, they're actually operating similar to they did once upon a time. So whatever's causing it, so be it.
I guess now that COVID is finally far enough behind us to where they can, and they've expanded the capital expenditures on the parks division, there's enough money to do stuff that they've neglected for last 5 years. Italy's getting a refurbishment at Epcot. The Swiss Family Treehouse recently got another update or some fixes. Main Street Railroad Station, there's the Plaza restaurant on Main Street is also getting.
That's an exterior, right?
Looks like exterior. For both of those, I'm not sure about the train station, but it's getting some more.
I was going to say, because the train station just got over a long stoppage where it could have done plenty of stuff on that if they wanted to do the actual station.
Right, which is why they didn't invest the money into it until now. And now it's like, okay, now we need to do it. So there's some refurbs going on in Animal Kingdom. There, you know, Tortuga Tavern area, which is only seasonal, got a refurb on their that area, the flooring, whatever you want to call it. Bunch of
Tortuga
stuff. Now, if only they would do Spaceship Earth again at some point, maybe after Test Track reopens, maybe we'll get lucky enough to get the Spaceship Earth.
I mean, I'm not really eager to get it. I mean, some of the stuff that we saw on the concept art, which is usually, you know, turns out to be disappointing, right?
Usually less than what you see.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that looked interesting and would be fun to have, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah.
It's not going to make or break my life.
Maybe. Right. But maybe at Destination D23, there'll be some new things that they'll drag out of the archives there that they've shelved for a while. Maybe we can hope.
Yeah, the idea bends.
Yeah. So what do you think about this rumor that came out last week about the pricing going towards more like an airline model, where they would base the price on the day? Could be different from day to day, could be different based on demand, based on, you know, different factors like airlines use, the price fluctuates a lot with
I don't know anybody who has looked at how airlines do their prices and say, man, I love that.
Right.
And I wish that was in more things.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Because if anything, yeah.
As a consumer looking at that, that is not what you think. So
no. But as an opportunist, I can see people creating businesses around these, you know, scanning for ticket price changes and like, oh, alert me if the price drops on this day, or because that's kind of what you have to do with airline tickets. If you want to get a deal on, you have to be constantly looking.
Yeah, and that's not price, that's already a problem at Disney World and theme parks, and you have to constantly be doing something. So no, I'm not a fan of this. I'm not in favor of this. Definitely not in favor of why in this country we plan on trying to complicate absolutely everything.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's the illusion of, but hey, you can get a really great price on a day that's really low crowd or whatever, like Labor Day or whatever. It's going to be like the cheapest ticket price you can find, even though ultimately throughout the year, they're going to get more money out of it because Christmas Day prices are probably going to be, you know, $300 a day or something, $300 a ticket or something by the time they sell out. So they're going to end up making more money, but they're going to do the illusion of, hey, but it's going to be cheaper for, you know, everybody ultimately.
Right. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the profits continue to go up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what they would do. Well, yep. Not happy about it either, but as long as they don't do that to annual pass prices.
That's how they're going to figure out how much one costs. They're going to do it. They're going to take 365 days. They're going to see how much it would have cost the, you know, the non APs each day, and then figure up a pricing based on that.
Probably. That was surprising.
Still give you a deal in comparison to everybody else.
Dino Land is being demolished. Do you feel sad seeing those triceratops laying on the ground? They're no longer flying.
You mean being on the ground where they belong? Where they once roamed? Where they once trampled?
Yeah. Oh.
No, sad. I don't feel sad at all.
No.
Just like I never felt sad to see that chiropractor's dream when it got demolished. We're referring to Primeval World. Rural, not world.
Oh, yes.
World.
Yes. Yeah, that... Yeah, was not one of my favorites. Moving on, Disney Starlight, Dream the Night Away. There's some new concept art that Disney has put on the website. I guess they put all the concept art on the website. Well, there's one that I hadn't seen. But a lot of this looks like a typical Disney parade, although I'm excited about what this might look like all lit up. Mm-hmm. So they do reveal like the Peter Pan, Frozen, Encanto, Moana, and then a float that looks like very similar to one they do now, which is a bunch of princes and princesses.
Yeah.
Tiana, Naveen, Beauty, Belle and the Beast, Cinderella and Prince Charming. Who else? Who am I missing?
You know, when it comes to a parade, you got to have the visuals, obviously. That's very important. Mm-hmm. But the thing that the thing that's going to takes it over the edge always has been, do you have a catchy theme song for your parade?
There it is.
Do you have a theme song with a good hook? Exactly. Do they have a Spectrum Magic? Do they have, you know, like even the daytime parades, the good ones were remembered mostly for their music, not for what was in it.
That's true.
You know, like you remember the 15-year celebration song more of it way more than you do what you actually saw. Right. You know what I mean? So
even the 25 was the Remember the Magic, wasn't that?
Yep, 25? It was. So that one felt that pretty felt like that went on forever, but apparently it wasn't as long as it was. It felt like apparently, but yeah,
just seemed like it was. So Disney Starlight, Dream the Night Away, is that the song? Let's see. I don't know. We'll find out.
All I can say is if it's got a good hook, then it should be successful.
Yep.
And sometimes you can borrow existing music in the case of like Paint the Night, right?
Yeah. That was a good catchy one, so it worked. Yeah.
It fit, even though it was existing, but it from Wreck-It Ralph, but it worked. Yeah. It fit with the theming and everything.
So, bouncing back to the what they're finally fixing, and I took a picture of this last time I was at Hollywood Studios back in January, of that facade on the Hollywood Boulevard that they. Remember those? It fell apart like how many years ago? Several years ago at this point.
Well, it fell apart?
It was the outside of the store that has like all the Star Wars.
It's on Sunset Boulevard? Oh.
No, it's on the main Hollywood.
Oh.
Boulevard. It was like, it had like this
Mickey's of Hollywood? I thought Mickey's of Hollywood was the store that has like all, like the one that's really long and has all the. Like a hodgepodge of things.
Not the main one. The one that's not closer the main one. Okay. The closer to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Oh, closer to it.
PV's is right behind it. It is Keystone Clothiers. Anyway, the facade like fell. It was like this dark marble, whatever. Anyway, it was a big story when it fell apart, and then Disney did nothing to fix it. I took a picture of it. I remember.
So it's been so long that people have just stopped remembering what it looked like before, I guess.
Yes. And now they're actually going, I think it was even a doorway into the store that had been closed for so long. And now they're going to fix it. Looks like they finally put walls around it. So they waited until they had money.
So they still have a Rocketeer themed cart.
The Rocketeer jet pack and the helmet is still on the wall there, like on the side of the wall. You gotta go look, man.
That's like, how did I miss that? Because that's like a piece of history at this point. Like most people are, if you said that, they'd say the Rock-a-Who.
Right, exactly. Oh. From the movie. Hey, that was in the movie.
Yeah.
It's there. It's. Speaking of Hollywood Studios, though, finally, Woody's Lunchbox is getting some shelter from the sun and rain. Only how many years ago? What was it, 8 years ago, 7 years ago when this opened? So they're finally getting some relief.
Relief?
Yeah. It looks like Domino's, maybe? I'm trying to understand. Or maybe, no, it's more of the Connects or whatever. Anyway, so maybe eventually
Tinker we'll Toys. Be able to,
yeah, maybe we'll be able to eat without getting sun or rain.
Fried.
Yeah, that fried or soaked. One or the other.
Scattered, colored, covered and smothered.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Alrighty.
Well, you could be covered in rain, smothered in heat.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, and this other story about Rock and Roller Coaster, Disney World, they have filed a construction permit.
Yes, I saw this.
For repainting
the guitar.
The guitar? Yeah. Just doing something. And they're like, why would they be doing this if they're not going to be changing it to something
else? What are they going to be painting it to be? why is that even important?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been red all this time, but they're painting it to what? I mean, what is there a certain, is it going to be rainbow colored now because to do, to kind of follow along with, well, it's not even really their, I guess Rainbow Connection is kind of their song, but it's not one that you would incorporate in. I mean, Rock and Roller Coaster, would you? I mean, it just wouldn't fit. That's too slow of a song.
Rainbow Connection. Yeah.
The only one of the old ones that I can think of that I think fits to me is Can You Picture That? Do you remember that one?
No, not off the top of my
head. I think it's like the song where they get introduced in the very first Muppets film, The Electric Mayhem, whenever they first introduced them in the hotel.
Okay.
Picture that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Dr. Teeth.
And I think they're going to have to incorporate some of the songs from the Disney Plus series that they did. You know, they released a whole album and everything.
Okay.
So they're going to have to incorporate some of them.
I don't know.
That was probably their long-term goal anyway, was to do this, to be honest.
Yeah, so they don't have to pay Aerosmith anything. Is that
well, Aerosmith was apparently way cheaper than some of the other people that they.
Right. We've talked about that too.
A long time ago.
Right.
We have gone deep into that. So maybe we'll post a link to that episode in the notes of this one.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Flower and Garden is starting soon.
Yes, we're moving from one festival to the other. Festival of the Arts has it already closed?
Yep, it already ended.
Yeah,
March 5th is Flower and Garden starts.
Yeah.
It ends earlier this year though, right? I'm forgetting the end date, but it's earlier than...
That depends on how far back you go, because if you go back far enough, it wouldn't even have started at this point.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even have started in March. So... No.
June 2nd, so it will... So I'm trying to decide if I'm going to go Memorial Day or after... I love Flower and Garden, so I may want to try to squeeze in the last few days of that, but we'll see.
You're gonna look at the list of the Garden Rocks concert series and see who you want to go and see.
Yeah, that's the main
draw. That's how you're gonna determine it.
That's definitely the draw. You're right. I need to go back and see that.
You know, locally, I was waiting, and they finally released it. We have in LaGrange, they have the Sweetland Amphitheater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which has had a few names that are recognizable come through there. My wife and I actually went in September to the Jewel Melissa Etheridge concert they had there.
Okay.
That was kind of fun. For a smaller venue, you know, it's kind of neat. But the only one they really had that was interesting, you know, was someone I had even mild interest in was the first one of this year is Travis Tritt. But I haven't really seen anybody else. I have a TBA still in it, so this year's kind of disappointing schedule. But unless the TBA turns out to be a good one.
Right.
But anyway, I just kind of threw that in there.
Don Felder, formerly of the Eagles. He's going to be Memorial Day.
Yeah, the one that didn't write anything. Yeah.
Yeah. The Cat Empire. I don't know them. It's going to be there.
I don't know who that is.
The last one is We the Kingdom. It's a new act. I don't know who these are either. Sounds like a Christian band.
It could be. I'm not familiar with them.
Sugar Ray, of course. Simple Plan. 98 Degrees.
Wow. I'm having trouble coming up with a Disney connection for this one, but the passing of Gene Hackman, that was kind of...
Is he in a... He's
Lex Luthor.
Some Disney film, right?
I was thinking, you know, I don't think he's ever had a Disney film that he was in, now that I think about it.
Surely there's something.
He had a lot of good films.
Hmm.
Of course, my earliest recollection of him was as Lex Luthor. But he's done lots of stuff that I enjoyed. Hoosiers. The Quick and the Dead, you know.
Yeah, and he was 95, which was crazy to think, like, what happened. Like, it was such a weird...
Well, it's still... I mean, you never know, even by the time we get done with this, you know, there might have already... Something might have changed already, but there's a lot of strange factors surrounding it, so...
Yeah.
The fact that it was he, his wife, and his dog. So people think carbon monoxide, but apparently they were also there for, like... They were there long enough to decompose.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I don't know. It almost, to me, sounds like it was planned. Like, maybe, you know how sometimes celebrities keep their illnesses a secret? Maybe he had something going on, and maybe he or she won, like, had this idea of, like, we're all going together type thing. You never know. Sometimes that happens.
I'm not trying to say that. You never know.
Yeah. Well, she was way younger, though.
Right. I mean, but he, you know. Anyway. Who knows?
Again, everybody starts pointing to carbon monoxide, which I would have thought they would have had some sort of an indicator of that, usually, but...
Huh. Yeah, I don't see a Disney film at the moment that he was in, but...
Yeah. I don't even know that I'm in my own house long enough to have carbon monoxide poisoning anyway.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Got it.
But we do have pets, and they seem to be they haven't kicked off, so so I think we're good.
Yeah, just go by that. Okay. So, okay, I can talk a little about my trip to the Grand Canyon to close this episode out. Since
yes, Hester, the reason we didn't do an episode last week because you decided you wanted to go somewhere.
Yes, it was my fault. My kids had the winter break, so. From school, and they get tired of hanging around the house, and I get tired of them hanging around the house bugging me all the time. So we take them somewhere. We had planned
starting to sound like National Lampoon.
Right.
Did y'all pile up in a station wagon or
no? But we did drive. We did have several of those moments, obviously going to the Grand Canyon, and thought about that movie quite a bit. Driving through the desert too, it's kind of like, oh boy. A lot of could happen out there.
You didn't wind up driving under a truck, did you?
No, that was Christmas.
That was the original one. Right? It was Christmas, yes. Still, we're out in the middle of nowhere at the time that happened.
Yes. We had talked about it for a while because Grand Canyon has this train that goes from Williams, Arizona to the Grand Canyon South Rim, I guess. And there's hotels there. You can stay for a night and then you can come back on the train the next day. So we booked that and didn't realize it at the time, but Williams, Arizona is on Route 66. And there's definitely a car's Radiator Springs vibe when we got to
That area.
Yeah. There was the flashing traffic light that was in the middle of town. And the sign, you know, it had a big sign that looked like the Radiator Springs, but it was Williams, Arizona.
Makes you wonder, is that the area they chose to?
Yeah. Well, we looked it up. Googled it later. It was several other towns, but it was some of them in Arizona were inspired, or Radiator Springs was inspired by, but
not that
specifically
one.
That one, but it definitely had a Radiator Springs vibe. But we actually flew to Vegas and drove. We could fly to Phoenix or Vegas. Phoenix is like 2 hours from there, and Vegas was 3, but it was a little cheaper to fly to Vegas, so we chose Vegas and then ended up driving past Hoover Dam, which you alluded to in the beginning.
Hoover Dam.
Hoover Dam was doing some refurbishments too, so they must have some extra CapEx that they were... Anyway, they were spending money while they could before it got cut. But anyway.
Possible. Does that make you a little nervous being at Hoover Dam and knowing that they're shut down for some reason? I mean.
Well, they were.
It's like, are they repairing the wall?
Yeah. Well, yeah. They were stopping it from leaking. No. The dam was leaking. No, they said that the elevators that go down into the, where they do the tours, like you can go all the way down into the middle of the dam. They were under refurbishment, so they couldn't do like the official tours that they normally do.
Come on, come on now. You're supposed to, since you're talking about vacation, you're supposed to do the jokes. You're supposed to say the damn elevators.
Yes, okay. We couldn't do the damn tour because the damn elevators were not working. Yes. So we just walked over the dam. And anyway. No, but it was fun. It was cool to see it. I'd been there once before, but didn't do the tour then either, but oh well, but maybe next time, because it was definitely cool to see. There's a, you know, walkway now, like the highway goes in front of the dam where you can drive over, but of course they have giant walls up on the highway because people would be like stopping and like driving off the road trying to look at it. So there's a walking bridge that you can stop, park, get out, and walk across the to look at it, to get a really good view of it too. So anyway, 3-hour drive from Vegas to there. We also drove up the Vegas Strip to like let the kids see during the daytime what Vegas is like.
During the daytime, where you only see the, you know, adult entertainment advertisements on the flying around on the ground and stuff.
Yes. Well, it was
the solicitations.
It was before noon, so there was enough. Like the folks handing out stuff weren't out yet. So,
oh, okay.
The families were still out. Yeah. They were too early for that. We, of course, ate at In-N-Out Burger, which has made its way to Nevada since I was last in Nevada.
Made its way.
So, yeah, they don't expand. It wasn't when I was last there, but that was a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
That was like 15 years ago, probably. But anyway, so we ate there for lunch, of course, and then Williams, Arizona. The train is very kid friendly. So it's like a Wild West show in the morning of the train ride, like to get you ready for it. And then you get on a 2-hour train ride up to the Grand Canyon. And then the train ride on the way back, they do a staged train robbery. They tell you well in advance, like what's going to happen. But
so the way he tries to pull anything.
Right. But it's very tongue in cheek. Like they're very like, you know, even the guy on the announcement was like, oh, I've heard there's some outlaws in the area. They might stop the train with their inflatable cow or something. You know, it's like real silly stuff.
Yeah. Sounds kind of like the Catastrophe Canyon spiel from back in the day, the way you're talking about it.
Yeah. No, it was very, yeah. It kind of had a Disney-esque vibe to it in a way.
Yeah.
Even the, you know, with the Wild West show, of course, they had like guns where they would shoot like the outlaws or whatever. And they'd be like, you know, at the end of the show, they all got up and like, it's fine. You know, everybody's good. Like, we have to be ready for the next show tomorrow or, you know, that kind of stuff. A lot of dad jokes and stuff. Let me think. Oh, of course, the Grand Canyon itself, I had never been. I'd flown over it before and seen it from the air, but seeing it in person was incredible. It was something to see. Like, I'm glad I finally got to get out there because it doesn't look real.
Something to cross off your list.
Yeah, it's definitely a bucket list thing, and everybody should go, I think, because it's just incredible to see. It's a humongous, giant chasm, I guess, obviously. But we did like a 2-mile hike around the rim, and there's different vantage points you can get from there. The official national parks, Grand Canyon National Park, is on the south rim. So we stopped there, and the kids got their little badges and everything. It was kind of cool. So it's neat. That was our little trip. Oh, and so there was like, you know, there's some Native American stuff there that's preserved. There's a lodge there that Teddy Roosevelt stayed at back in like 1911 or something, or 1906 or something. I forgot the date. And presidents that have come since then have, you know, stayed in that same I guess, room that Teddy Roosevelt had and all that kind of stuff. There's like...
It's the presidential suite.
Right, exactly, yeah. And then there's a room that's like, was his room, Teddy Roosevelt's room, and he stayed there, like, so it was off to the side. So they let us go look at that as well. Had some memorabilia and stuff in there. But it was just, you know, a lot of history there, so it was pretty cool to see. Highly recommended. I thought it was really cool. And now it's like, I kind of want to do some more Route 66 because that was pretty cool to see.
I thought that would be kind of cool to drive along that way to get out to Cali, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, because...
Long journey, know, but...
Yeah, it's definitely a long way, but I mean, the highway way, you know, from Williams, Arizona, it's like from, you know, it's like a 7-hour drive to LA. So... Mm-hmm. It's like 400 and something miles to LA, so it's not like from us to Disney, so it's, you know.
Pretty much.
So.
And that, but that's taking interstate and everything else.
That's true, yeah. Route 66 would take longer, obviously. But.
What's the speed limit?
Well, actually, in Arizona, when you got to the desert areas, it was like 75 was the speed limit.
Mm-hmm. That's why it is in some places in Texas.
Yeah. You just had to be wary of the trucks that couldn't go very fast uphill at certain points and then would go too fast downhill, obviously. So
that's the highest. That's still the highest marked speed limit that I've seen is 75. I haven't seen anything higher marked. I'm sure it exists. Same.
Well, in Germany, there is no speed limit.
I think there's some roads here with no speed limit, isn't there? I mean, I don't remember where they are, but I think there is.
Is there? I don't know.
I mean, the most famous one being the Autobahn that you're referring to, but
right, yeah. But anyway, that was why we didn't have an episode last week. So apologies, but didn't get that one in time.
We just whet your appetite for this week. We had to. Sometimes it's good to wait.
Right.
You know, build the anticipation.
Exactly. So now we're caught up on most of the Disney news. Oh, there was one other thing I did mention is that because of all that, I mentioned earlier, the permits were approved, I guess, for all that construction. So it's rumored that the Villains Land construction is even going to start soon. So right. I would think...
Looking for an announcement.
Yeah, I think even like we said, by the time this is out, we'll probably have some kind of... The next big news story will be the dates of closings of those. So, Rivers America and whatnot. Sadness.
Sadness, great sadness.
I will be sad to see that go, but... Anyway, where can we be found out there?
Well, we can be found on Facebook, X, and Instagram. All of those are at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. And we have a YouTube channel, which you can get these episodes as well as a few theme park ride or otherwise recordings. Where can you find that at?
Our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com. All the links and more are there. So, for John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
When we're tripping.